The hope was way, new light am gay, lean every day, still praying as I onward bow. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. That I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay without a rise. And fear dismay, though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my hymn is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher place that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Amen.
Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, today. The entrance of your word brings light and understanding unto the simple. Thank you for the word that will bring us into a place, oh God, of divine encounter with you now and always. Thank you for the purity of your word. Thank you, Lord, help us make our hearts simple to receive your word and to respond to you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. This month we've been looking at a series which is entitled, Let Your Light Shine. And today we are concluding that series, with today's message, which is Shining Your Light in a Dark World. And during the month, we looked at learned about the attitudes in Matthew chapter 5. Last Sunday, we had a Bible study about preaching the gospel to lost souls. And during this course of the month, there's something that we'll be able to understand as the fact that that we are the light of the world. Jesus said that we are light. He didn't say that we are going to be light. He says we are the light. God has put illumination, divine illumination, in every believer, followers of Jesus Christ. And as followers of Jesus Christ, that illumination comes from the eternal life that we have inside of us. And, in John 3, verse 16, the Bible says something. It says, "For God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." John 3, verse 16. It says, we will have eternal life. That eternal life is what brings illumination. That eternal life was made our light to shine. Eternal life is the very life and essence of God inside of us. So eternal life is not just it's not when we die, we will be in heaven with God. It includes that, and that is even the most significant part of it. But whilst we are here on earth, God has put his life inside of us to make our Christian work more productive, more fruitful, and more effective. That's the mystery of godliness, that God has added to inhabit human beings, divinity inhabiting humanity and lifting humanity to the level of divinity. That's what the Christian life is all about. So it's not just about you becoming a Christian and then we are struggling and somehow we barely make it to heaven. And then, you know, sweet by and by and everything is wonderful and great. God wants us to represent Jesus effectively here on earth. And the gift of eternal life, the life of God inside of us, helps us to do that. So, this is the Christian life, as I've mentioned. And the life of Jesus Christ, when we look at it, it can be there are three main aspects to it. Of course, there are some other aspects in terms of maybe that he died for our sins, which only he could do. But the life of Jesus that he came to live is to actually set an example, a template for us of how to live the divine life here on earth. And there are three main aspects of the life of Jesus that we are going to look at. The first one is his close relationship with the Father when he was on earth. And we see loads of examples of that in the Bible, especially in the book of John, where Jesus talked about the fact that he says, I and the Father are one. I cannot do anything except, you know, I see the Father do it. You know, and then, you know, he reflects to God as his Father, you know, up to the extent that the Jews, you know, they wanted to actually stone him. They said that, no, you are raising yourself, you know, unto the level of, you're a mere human being. You are raising yourself to the level of God. So we see that while Jesus was on earth, Jesus had a close relationship with the Father. And that's one aspect of his life. The other aspect is that his impeccable moral character. The impeccable moral character of Jesus. The Bible says in Mark 7, I think Mark 7, 37, it says he has done all things well. The Bible says concerning Jesus Christ that he who knew no sin was made sin for us. He might be made the righteousness of God in him, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So we see there that Jesus has impeccable moral character. And also, Jesus walked in the power of God, in spiritual power. So the healings that we saw, the miracles, the raising of the dead, all those things, they are examples of spiritual power. So when we are talking about letting our light shine, these are the three aspects I want to look at so that we can replicate the life of Jesus here on earth. But that's the plan of God. That, you know, as Jesus Christ has gone to heaven, the Holy Spirit has come to make residence here on earth and to live and to make home in the hearts and the lives of every believers, that we are able to live the life of God to the best of the ability that God has placed in us. Based on the fact that he has given us eternal life, based on the fact that we have the template, the example of Jesus Christ to follow. Jesus Christ is our example, is the example that we need to follow. Not your favorite preacher on TV, not, you know, people, heroes of faith who we respect. We can learn a lot from them in terms of how they walked and how they copied Jesus and how we can see that, oh, this thing is actually possible and things like that. But more importantly, we should is looking unto Jesus, the beginning and the end of our faith in Hebrews chapter 12. That's what we want to look at. For us, for our lights to shine in this dark world, we must, to a large extent, continuously, you know, replicate, you know, the life of Jesus Christ, becoming more and more like him, because that's the plan that the Father has for us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So the first point that I mentioned in terms of the aspect of the life of Jesus, and also what we also need in order to live in a world, to shine the light of God in this generation, is a personal and close relationship with God. Having a personal and a close relationship with God starts with salvation. You must be born again. You must be saved. Salvation is not based on having a Christian name or a Christian heritage. Maybe your parents were Christians, your parents, you know, were pastors, or they were ministers, or they were missionaries and things like that. All that does not count. It's not based on church activities. It's not based on how zealous you are in church. All those things, they have their place, but they do not take the place of salvation or good works. You become saved by acknowledging that you have sinned against God. You cannot save yourself. You need a savior. You repent of your sins. You surrender your life to Jesus as Lord and Savior. You make Jesus your Lord. You make Jesus your Savior. He is your King, and his word has final authority and sovereignty over your life. That is how you become a Christian. That is how you begin to have a close personal relationship with God. Because what happens is that you become translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. You then become a child of God. Your sins become washed away. And God imputes in us the gift of righteousness. God gives us the right relationship, gives us the ability to have a right relationship with Him. Not because we are perfect, but because we have a perfect Savior, who is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has taken the punishment for our sins, the past, present, and the future. If the only thing we need to do is acknowledge and to put our faith in what Jesus Christ has done. And that then becomes accredited to your spiritual account. Then you become a child of God. And as the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, which I mentioned earlier today, that God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever will believe in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. So that's the starting point of having a personal relationship with God, of having a close relationship with God. Then the next aspect of it is the fact that we must develop intimacy with God by spending time with the Lord. In Mark chapter 3, verse 13 to 15, Mark chapter 3, verse 13 to 15. Mark 3, 13 to 15, I read. It says, and he went on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted. And they came to him. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. I'll read again. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted. And they came to him. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him, that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. So you see the first thing there in verse 13. He called them and then they responded to him. You could say in this way that this is salvation. That we responded to the invitation of God. In this case, the disciples responded to Jesus. Every human being must respond to Jesus and receive Him as Lord and Savior. He says He called them and then they came to Him. Then He appointed 12. Verse 14, the other part of verse 14, He says that they might be with Him. That was intimacy. So Jesus used that opportunity to disciple the apostles, for them to have a close relationship with Him. And if we are going to shine the light of Jesus in a dark world where we are, we must replicate what we see there in the Bible, that we must have a close personal relationship with God. A close personal relationship with God. And then, what happened after that? And then it says that he might send them out to preach. Still verse 14 of Mark chapter 3. So he called them, they responded to him, and then they spent time with him. Then he sent them out. A lot of people, a lot of ministers have made a shipwreck of their ministry because they prioritized the aspect of going out over having a close relationship with God. Whilst we need both of them, you need to prioritize one over the other. In order for you to talk, you must talk to God about people before you talk to people about God. You must talk to God about people. That means you must have a close personal relationship with God, an ongoing one, before you talk to people about God, which is ministry, which is preaching the gospel, which is, for example, what I'm doing now, you know, sharing the word of God, you know, ministering to people, visiting them, praying for the sick, you know, giving to the poor, you know, social action and all those kind of things, which is wonderful and great. But it must stem out of a personal, ongoing relationship, intimacy with God, like the apostles had with Jesus Christ. Your relationship with God is key to shining as light in a dark world. If this is missing,
everything falls apart. Because it's like building, you know, on a faulty foundation. Because as the challenge of ministry or the challenge of life, this will pile up. If you don't have the right foundation, which first of all is salvation with Jesus Christ, and then cemented by a personal close relationship with God, as the challenges begin to build up, you find that in then God falls down like a pack of cards. But my prayer is that that will not be your experience in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will have a solid foundation. You will have your roots downward and your fruit upward in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what are some of the spiritual disciplines that we need to have in order to have a close relationship with God? It's like personal prayer, worship, that was mentioned during the time of testimony, spending time to worship God for who he is. But personal Bible reading and study, spending time to fast on your own. Fasting, you know, helps to deal with the flesh so that more of Jesus will be revealed in us. Fasting is not a way to twist the arm of God. No, fasting changes us to become more and more like Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage us, you know, to incorporate fasting, personal fasting, into our spiritual discipline. Congregational worship, coming together like we are now, coming together to encourage ourselves and to worship. Worship God and to fellowship, having, you know, a network of people in which, you know, we are accountable to and we encourage ourselves together and we challenge ourselves in the Christian journey. Evangelism, going out and telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ, walking in love. All these things should be non-negotiable in our lives. All this should be non-negotiable in our lives if you want to have a deep, personal, close relationship with God. It starts with us. Then out of the overflow of our personal walk with God, then that comes ministry. That comes service. That comes effective service. That comes effective ministry. That comes, you know, being very, very effective, being able to shine the light of Jesus Christ wherever we are. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Moral character. Remember, I mentioned at the beginning, we mentioned three key aspects of the life of Jesus Christ that we need to emulate if we are going to be effective disciples of Jesus here on earth. We are going to be effective disciples. First one was, you know, having a close relationship with God. Just had a close relationship with God. Jesus, exceptional and impeccable moral character. And then he walks in spiritual power. So the next aspect we are looking at in order to shine the light of God is moral character. Let's turn our Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 from verse 12. Philippians chapter 3, I'll read from verse 12 to 16. And we'll pull out some key things there, which is relevant to us. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 16, I read, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, walk out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." The first point that I would like to look at, pull out in terms of moral character, is the fact that in verse 12 of Philippians chapter 2, you say that, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed." Bible says that in 1 Samuel 15, this to obey is better than sacrifice. And the Bible is saying that again, Paul was writing to the church in Philippi. In Philippians, he said that as you have always obeyed, and that's the first point I want to look at, obedience to the word of God, obedience to God and obedience to his word. Obedience to those that God has placed as spiritual authority over our lives. Obedience to those that God has placed, you know, as governing authorities in our communities, in our workplaces, and even in the nation. So take, for example, you know, some of the measures that have been put in place to deal with COVID-19. Like, people have been encouraged to make sure that they keep, you know, the rules keep on changing. For example, you know, keep to your the group of six, covering your faces and things like that. It would be good for us, not to shine the light of this in a dark world, to make sure that we are obeying the government authorities. The Bible actually encourages us and challenges us to do that in Romans chapter 13. So face covering, for example, are you doing that? Are you keeping, you know, the 2-meter rule? Are you adhering, you know, to the guidelines in terms of maybe, for example, the group of six and things like that? So even if you think you have excellent immunity, for the fact that, you know, it is good for us, you know, to be obedient and to show good example, and to also make sure that you are, you also help other people to feel comfortable, it is good for us to do the right thing. So that's an example in which, you know, there's some practical examples we can look into our lives. Are we obeying God? Are we obeying His word? Is it His word number one in our lives? And are we also obeying, you know, the governing authorities in our lives? There was a time in the Bible where, you know, people came to meet Jesus and asked, why have you paid your tax and things like that? What did Jesus do? Just told Peter, you know, told him a parable, and then said, don't worry, you know, go to the river, the first fish that you catch, you have 2 coins in it. Go and pay the taxes. One for me, one for you. So Jesus also set us the example of what? Obeying governing authorities. I want to encourage us and challenge us to make sure that we do this in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one of the ways we shine the light of Jesus Christ. We are not rebellious. To obey is better than sacrifice. That's what the Bible says. Except when there's a situation where they want us, you know, to do things which is contrary to the word of God, then we can rebel. Because first of all, our allegiance and our obedience is to God. But something like this is not. They are not asking us to do something which is sinful. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's go on in that Philippians chapter 3. He says there, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Paul, again, was challenging them. Their obedience was not just when he was present, but even after he had left them. Because as an apostle and a missionary, Paul was going to different places planting churches. He was sent and he was encouraging them and saying that your obedience should not just be when I'm there, but even when I'm absent, you know, I expect you to be obedient. The second point we have under moral character is strength of character. Strength of character. Not only in my presence, but also in my absence. If you're going to shine the light of Jesus in a dark world, we must have strength of character. We must not be a chameleon Christian. What's a chameleon? A chameleon changes its color to suit its environment. Of course, we know that it's to protect itself. But just in the example that, you know, it changes its color. It is not stable. It is not reliable. We should not be a thermometer Christian, but rather we should be a thermostat. What's the difference between a thermometer and a thermostat? A thermometer fluctuates, changes, you know, the readings on the gauge based on the temperature of the room or the environment. It keeps on fluctuating and changing based on external things. But a thermostat regulates the temperature of the room. So if you set a thermostat to, let's say, 17 degrees centigrade, a thermostat makes sure that the room temperature stays at that place. And God expects us to be thermostat Christians, that we set the spiritual climate of where we are. It may be in your family, it may be in your community, it may be in your business, it may be in your workplace, it may be wherever. that we have the strength of character based on the word of God, being empowered by the Holy Spirit, and our will is being involved. So your will is involved. The power of the Holy Spirit is there to help us. But more important, and the word of God is there to fortify us. But we must have make up our mind that we are going to make sure that we make sure that the word of God is the final authority in our lives, and we do not shift based on what is popular or what is not popular. Our moral value, our core value, is based on the word of God. And our life is to please God first of all, and to be a blessing unto mankind. The third point under moral character, for us to shine the light of Jesus, is to be example of good works. But before I go to good works, let's finish what we have in verse 12 of Philippians chapter 3. He says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So whilst we come together to encourage ourselves, while we come together, you know, to encourage ourselves with the word of God, with prayer, exhortation, you know, so many things as a community of believers, you also need to take a personal responsibility for your own salvation. I will say that work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That means take your salvation seriously. It's not something that's flippant. It's not something that you need to go to church, you know, when I went in there, and then I just live the way I want to live, and then I come back, and I got come to be. Yes, no. This is a serious thing. This is a thing that's of eternal value. This is a thing that we cannot toy with. This is a thing that, you know, our time here on earth is limited compared to eternity. So it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Make it the uttermost and the most important thing in our lives. Our salvation is the most important thing. Your salvation is the most important thing. Jesus said, John was comparing the kingdom of God. He said the kingdom of God is like somebody that found treasure. And then what he did was that when he found treasure in the field, and when he found the field, he went and he sold everything that he had, and then came and bought the field. He bought the field not because of the field itself, but because it was treasure in the field. So our salvation is treasure that cannot be toyed with. Our salvation is treasure that we cannot be too important to be toyed with. Work out your salvation, my brethren, with fear and trembling. 3, under moral character, being examples of good works. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 says, do all things without complaining and disputing. Do all things without complaining or disputing. Are you a serial complainer? Or are you someone who comes up with constructive criticism? You notice or you know everything that is not working, but very light on suggestions or solutions. All the same here. We're talking about practical things here. Do all things without complaining or disputing. If we are going to shine as light, God wants us to be people who lift up the mood in an environment. So even when there's a casting down, you are the one who's optimistic because of the life of God in you, because of the hope of eternal life that you have, because, you know, God delights in you. That when men say there is a casting down, you will say there is a lifting up. Especially time and now, where it seems that there is doom and gloom. God is depending on you and I to be the people to lift people up. This shall come to pass. That God will help you. This storm will blow over in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not denying the fact that no things are challenging. We're not denying the fact, but I think despite that, we serve a God that turns things around. He was the one that turns the wilderness into a fruitful field. He's the one that turns, you know, where there was no water, he made sure that brought water out of nothing. He's the one that created everything out of nothing. So the God that can do the impossible is the God that we serve. Is the God that dwells on the inside of us. So we should not be people who perpetuate doom and gloom, but rather people that bring hope and people that bring salvation. So the Bible is saying that, do all things without disputing or complaining. Let's not be serial complainers. Let's be people who bring change, who bring solution, who talent things positively so that they can be a turnaround. So if things are not working well, we look for ways to engage them in a positive way to turn things around, not just to complain and to riot and to leave things like that, you know, and to leave things worse the way they are. We are there, we are the salt of the world to make things better. 15. It says there, let's read 14 and 15 together. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. We need to engage positively with our neighborhood and our communities. That is one of the ways, we shine the light of Jesus. We need to engage positively with our communities and with our neighborhood, with our colleagues, in our workplaces, in our families. We need to engage positively. There are loads of opportunities for us to impact our communities with the light of Jesus Christ. We need to ask the Lord to open our eyes to those opportunities so that we can plug in and make a difference for Jesus Christ. Look for community projects or community groups that you can volunteer for without compromising your faith. Look for places where you can make positive change. Look for places where you can shine the light of Jesus Christ. Look for places where you can bring hope, where you can bring, transformation, where you can make people look up to say, what is this? What is it that's keeping you up? What is it, making you, happy, giving you joy, even when things around seem to be crumbling down? You'll be able to share with them that it is the love of God. You'll be able to share with them that it is the life of God. Brethren, there are opportunities. Let's not shrink back at this time. Let's move on boldly, confidently, with the help of God, to engage our communities, to shine the light. It could be maybe volunteering in a food bank. It could be maybe going out and maybe befriending people who are lonely, or people who are housebound, people who have a limited number of people to come to them. There are so many opportunities out there. Let's go and see how we can possibly engage in our communities, how we can build the love of God in practical ways to people all around us. Because that's what Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ engaged positively with people. When people were hungry, he gave them food. When people needed healing, he ministered healing unto them. When people needed people to speak up for them, he spoke up for them. So, for example, the woman that was caught in adultery in John chapter 8, Jesus spoke up for her. Actually, we don't have much time, but if you look at that scripture carefully, you'll find that the Bible says she was caught in adultery. But it takes two to tango. And then you ask the question, what about the man? The man was left scot-free, and the woman was there held up as an example, ready to be stoned. Jesus saw the dishonesty. Jesus did not condone the adultery, but he found a way to deal with the injustice, the social injustice that was prevalent at that point in time. Verse 16 of Philippians chapter 3. Hold on to God's word. Verse 16. Holding fast the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Hold on to God's word. Tell somebody, hold on to God's word.
Hold on to God's word.
We should hold fast to God's word. Do not drop the baton. Do not give in. Do not give up. God will uphold and strengthen you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I pray right now for those who may be feeling isolated, those who feel like giving up, those who feel the Christian life is difficult to go forward with. Receive the injection of the life of God. Receive injection of hope right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. So I pray for you that you will be lifted up, you will be strengthened in Jesus' mighty name. The last part I want to look at with regards to shining the light is Jesus is walking in spiritual power, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. Walking in spiritual power, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, the Bible says, how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit and with power, and went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. As followers of Jesus, are required to do good by social action and spiritual action. Social action like feeding the hungry, visiting those who are in prison, helping and supporting them in rehabilitation, speaking up and protecting the oppressed, the marginalized, you know, supporting the orphans and widows and things like that. But also spiritual action. You need to take spiritual action, just like Jesus Christ did, by preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, healing the sick, casting out devils, raising the dead, praying for our communities and families and nations that they will turn unto the Lord. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, rather, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Philippians 2, verse 13. He says there, for it is God who is working in you to will and to do his good pleasure. For it is God who is working in you to will and to do his good pleasure. God is empowering you to represent him fully here on earth. You cannot fully represent Jesus if you don't walk in spiritual power. And how we walk in spiritual power? It is walking in faith and by taking spiritual actions. You need to go out and do evangelism. You need to go out and pray for the sick. When someone says, oh, I'm not feeling well, lay hands on them, pray for them. Don't just say, oh, well, oh, have you tried this? Have you tried that? No, first of all, pray for them in the name of Jesus. It is not your power that heals them. It is Jesus, the power of Jesus in you, that heals them. Let us step out in faith and pray for them. Let's step out in faith, expecting God to heal them in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, casting out devils, raising the dead. These are all the things that Jesus Christ said that we will do. Jesus said, the works that I do, you will do also, and greater than them. You can take spiritual action because Jesus, the healer, is living inside of you. Jesus, the redeemer, is living inside of you. Jesus, the baptizer with the Holy Spirit and power, is living inside of you. It is not you doing it. It is Jesus in you that is doing it, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 16, as we close. Mark 16, we thank you, Lord. Mark 16, 15 to 18. Mark 16, 15 to 18. Then he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. So shall it be for you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word, that you have made us give us light. Therefore, I pray in the name of Jesus, every one of us, arise, shine, for your light is come. Go and preach the gospel. Go and do social action. The glory of God. Go by faith. Lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Raise the dead. Go in the name of the Lord. Just cast out demons. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory, that is doing it. Lord, help us, Lord, to take our stand with you in the name of the Lord Jesus, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We bless you and we thank you. We worship you, Lord. It is well with you. Receive life. Receive life to every part of your body. Life. Testimony, breakthrough. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen.